Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
For you, those of you who haven't been here, Nehemiah was a cupbearer, and we've been in this series on rebuilding our lives. And Nehemiah was a cupbearer about 400 BC, and King Nebuchadnezzar came in and destroyed the city of Jerusalem. And Nehemiah was called to rebuild the city, the walls of the city. And the walls represented the government and the protection. And so that's what Nehemiah was rebuilding. And he left Susa to come and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. This is much like us rebuilding our lives, because the city of Jerusalem was in ruin. That was the city of God. And a lot of times something happens in our life that we think our lives are ruined, but folks, we can rebuild our lives like it never happened and it'd be better than it ever was. And that's the good news of the gospel. So Nehemiah went and rebuilt the city, got it done, and things were looking good. Remember the last time we were together, not Easter, but the week before Easter, we were still in Nehemiah, and we talked about how we don't want to play games with God. Remember, I had the yo-yo, and, you know, we treat God like a yo-yo. And when we want him close, we bring him close, but when we don't, we just go to sleep, right? Put him in the sleeper mode. We just kind of play games with God. And that's what they were doing in chapter 10 of Nehemiah. But now remember, they said no more games. They made a vow to God that we are not going to play any more games. We're making a vow to God. And it said they prayed, bring a curse on us if we don't keep our commitment and our vow to God. Remember that? So they literally prayed, bring a curse on our lives if we don't keep our vow in doing the will of God. So we're going to look today at this idea of Nehemiah had rebuilt the city. They made their commitment. It was working. It was doing well. Now, Nehemiah left and went back to Susa. And now he had been there for, they think it was 2 years. And he had decided to come back to see how the city was doing. That's where we're at in chapter 13. So Nehemiah was coming back to look and see what was going on and all the work he had done and what he had established and see what was happening. And really, it was in chaos and confusion again. And we're going to look at why, and it's going to help us to prevent that from happening here and in our hearts, right? Because we want to keep rebuilding and continue on in what God has called us to. Now, I'm going to have Rhonda go ahead and read our scripture. We're going to read Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 6 through 10. 6 through 11, I'm sorry. 6 through 11.
But during all this, I was not in Jerusalem. For in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, I had returned to the king. Then, after certain days, I obtained leave from the king. And I came to Jerusalem and discovered the evil that Eliashib had done for Tobiah in preparing a room for him in the courts of the house of God. And it grieved me bitterly. Therefore, I threw all the household goods of Tobiah out of the room. Then I commanded them to cleanse the rooms, and I brought back into them the articles of the house of God with the grain offering and the frankincense. I also realized that the portions for the Levites had not been given for them, for each of the Levites and the singers who did the work had gone back to his field. So I contended with the rulers and said, "Why is the house of God forsaken?" And I gathered them together and set them in their place.
All right. Any of you ever, did you hear of the this high school basketball team? Any of you keep up with basketball much? I'm not a big, but I like when March Madness is around and stuff. I watch it, kind of my daughter and I, we kind of talk about it. So it's a way we connect, because I taught her to play basketball in the driveway, you know, and that's a way that we spent time together. You know, there's ways you can spend time with your kids. I tell you, when you're raising kids and the busyness and just trying to provide and keep, there's little ways you'll spend time with them. And that was one of the ways I spent time with my daughter. We played basketball in the driveway. Well, that meant a lot to her. So she ended up playing basketball in school and high school and then played, got scholarship in college. And then, you know, she works for the government. She plays basketball for the government and she coached a high school team. And, you know, so that's something we connect with. And the idea is there was this Houston Yates was the high school team. They were the number one team in Texas, number one in the state. Well, they ended up being the number one team in the nation. Now, why am I telling you this? This team scored 100 points over 100 points for 15 games in a row. One of the games they won was 100-12. Another game they won 170-35. This is my point. No matter what the score was, they didn't back off. They continued to put the pressure on and continued to do their best and score as much as they could possibly, no matter how far ahead they were. So what I'm saying is that's the way we need to be. No matter what, how good we think things are, we need to keep pressing and doing what God is calling us to do, right? Because, folks, sometimes when things start, we just get a little lax and we just start to, you know, drop the ball a little bit and we just kind of back off on what's really important. All right. So now, today I'm going to talk about compromise and tolerance. No compromise. Look at this verse 6 in Nehemiah 13. But during all this, I was not in Jerusalem. Remember, I told you that he had gone back to Susa, and King Artaxerxes let him go back to check on the city. Now look, but during all this time, I was not in Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, I had returned to the king. Then after certain days, I obtained leave from the king. So he goes back and he wants to look at his work and all he had established in rebuilding the city. Now, he was very upset when he got back and saw what was going on. They began to compromise and they began to tolerate things that were totally not from God. Now, sin and compromise are major problems when it comes to rebuilding our lives. We play with sin at times and think it's no big deal. But I'm here to tell you, it is a big deal. Sin is a big deal. And we have to see it for what it is. If we don't deal with it, it grows and keeps growing in our lives. And it will take you down. It will keep you from rebuilding your life. Sin is like cancer. If you don't get it at its root, it will spread. And there's going to be a funeral. We have to deal with it. Am I making sense? So number one, this chapter here in 13 is to leaders. And I'm going to tell you something. Every one of you are leaders. You're leading children. You're leading somebody. You're leading in a church. You're leading in the school. You're leading at work. You're leading somebody somewhere. Somebody's watching your life. And that's what this chapter is about. It's for you. Don't think, well, he's not speaking to me. No, we're talking to you. And me. I'm talking to me too. All right. So number one, no Tobias. Why no Tobias? Remember, Tobias was an enemy of Nehemiah. Tobias was always accusing Nehemiah and always trying to bring down what Nehemiah was establishing. You know, in the church. But he was in the city. He was in the church, so to speak. He was in with everybody else, mixed in. And he was always trying to accusing of Nehemiah and trying to bring him down, and that's why we say no Tobias. Now, why do we say no Tobias? Tobiah was an Ammonite, and an Ammonite was not to be in the house of God. Well, that sounds pretty strong. Ammonites opposed the word of God, the will of God, the work of God, and the ways of God. And when it come to an Ammonite, you got to get the Ammonites out of your life. And that's the way it is. Get it out. You don't play with it. You don't counsel it. You get it out. Tobiah, verse 7, and I came to Jerusalem and discovered the what? The evil that Elishab had done for Tobiah in preparing a room for him in the courts of the house of God. Elishab prepared and, well, you know, Tobiah, you know, he didn't like Nehemiah and he was, you know, he didn't really always get along. He just, but he's, you know, he's, we can just let him in and you know, he'll change if he just gets in, you know, and we'll help him change and you know, we'll work with him. And you see this? Tolerance. Knowing that that they weren't supposed to be in the temple. Elishab was a priest. Now, here's the kicker. Elishab's kid married Tobiah's kid. Ooh. Now we got the family working together. Oh, that never happens in the church. Oh, yes, it does. So now, oh, well, you know, he's, get the leadership, you know, he's family, you know, so we'll let him in and we'll work with him. No. Look what it says, chapter 13, verse 1. On that day, they read from the book of Moses in the hearing of the people, and in it was found written that no Ammonite or Moabite should ever come into the assembly of God. You got to get them out. You don't bring him in to the temple. You don't bring the devil in, right? Because that's what he represents, the devil. You do not allow tolerance and mercy to trump obedience and truth. You do not allow tolerance and mercy and compromise to trump obedience and the truth. They knew that God had said there's no Moabite to be in the temple, but they went ahead and did it anyways. Now look at this. No Ammonite or Moabite should ever come into the assembly of God. Now, Nehemiah does not put compromise and tolerance above the truth of God. And that's the way we should be. Don't allow compromise and tolerance to trump the obedience and truth of God. Remember when Jesus cleansed the temple in Matthew 21? He cleansed the temple. He went in and he drove out the money changers, threw them out. Then he threw out the chairs that the doves were on. Got him out of the temple. And he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer, and you have made it a den of thieves. Now, what's he talking about? He threw out the money changers. What's he talking about there? You know what he's talking about? That's what they counted on. That's what they counted the money on. And that's what they counted on. Here's the idea. What you count on other than God, it's got to get out of your life. You are the temple of God now. What you count on other than God, it has to go. And then it says the chairs that the doves were on. The chairs are what brought them comfort. Anything that brings you comfort other than Jesus has got to go. You got to get it out of your life. You got to get it out of your life. Only he should be the one bringing you comfort. And only he can truly bring you comfort. And then it says, you've made my house a den of thieves. What's he talking about, a den? In Jeremiah 7, it talks about a den as well. And a den was a place for criminals to hide until the heat was off. Until the heat came, they'd commit a crime and they'd go hide in these dens and then wait till the heat was off and then they would go back to doing what they were doing before. And Jesus said, you've made my house, the temple of God, a den of thieves. You see, that's what happens. When you draw comfort from anything else than Jesus and you count on anything other than Jesus, you are allowing a den. Your life is becoming a den of thieves for thieves to come in and steal from you. Are we making sense? Now look at this. Do not allow tolerance and compromise to trump Obedience and truth. Well, you said that before. I'm going to keep saying it. This is where the church is what God has chosen, to influence the world. And that's why we got to be aware of what we're allowing in and what's coming in. Am I making sense? You got to hear this. It's so important because Jesus said, I will build my church, right? I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus loved the church. He loved the church. The church is the bride of Christ. He had a love for the church. And you and I, if we have a love for the church, we're not going to let this stuff in our lives. This is huge. As a pastor, I'm conscious when I pray, I'm coming up here this morning, I'm thinking, and last night I'm thinking about all of you. I have a responsibility here, and I'm going to watch over the church because, you know, it talks about in Revelations, it says, and to the angel of the church of Ephesus, and to the angel of the church of Sardis, and to the angel of the church of Pergamos. You know, he says the word angel? The word angel is angelos, and that word angelos means messenger. And the word messenger in the Greek means prophet and pastor. So the pastor of the church is the one I'm going to speak to first. You see that? And that's the one who has the responsibility. Come on, do you see that? When something happens in the church, they don't say, well, who's the youth pastor there? They don't say, well, who's the Sunday school teacher there? They don't say, well, who's the elder there? They say, who's the pastor, right? Why? Because that's the way it's set up. The pastor is the messenger, and we're to receive. It's not because I wanted all that. That's just the way it is. Is this making sense? So I feel that. Now, as a pastor, I'm going to watch out over my sheep, and wolves are going to try to get in. You see, I'm to keep the wolves out. And the wolves are always looking for wounded sheep. And I'm always trying to help wounded sheep. Does this make sense? And so we don't want them we don't want them coming in here and devouring. So folks, we got to raise our level of consciousness on what we're doing and what we're allowing in our lives. We want to keep the Tobias out. Now, in the Old Testament, God had a temple for his people. In the New Testament, God has a people for his temple. You know, I'm not a hireling. Jesus said, beware of a hireling. A hireling is somebody you hire them in to do a job. I'm not a hireling. I was called to this place. You think I'd be here if I wasn't called? Are you with me? Am I making sense? When you're called to something, that changes everything. You're not just hired. You know what a hireling would do? A hireling would do something to please the people. You think I'm here to please you? You know that's not right, right? That's what a hireling does. Jesus said, beware of that. I wouldn't want a hireling over. He doesn't want hirelings over the church. He wants somebody who's called, because somebody who's called really is concerned about people because they've been through something themselves. Am I making sense? And that's what it's all about. Now, he says in Ephesians 4:26, do not give place to the devil. Don't give place to the devil. What? No, what? Look at this. Verse 8 in Nehemiah, he says, and it grieved me bitterly. Therefore, I threw all the household goods of Tobiah out of the room. Then I commanded them to cleanse the rooms. He cleaned the temple. What are you supposed to do? When you cast out a demon, you're supposed to keep the house clean, right? That's what he's talking about here. And I brought back into them the articles of the house of God with the grain offering and the frankincense. You clean that house, you got to keep it clean. Nehemiah threw all the stuff out. Don't give place to the devil. It talks about anger. I'm going to read that to you real quick. Ephesians 4, you can go there if you'd like. 26, I'm sorry. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Anger not dealt with turns into resentment. Resentment turns into unforgiveness. Unforgiveness turns into bitterness. Bitterness defiles many, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12. You see, folks, that's why you can't just get hurt and not deal with it. You can't allow resentment in. You got to get it out of your, don't give place to the devil. You see, when you get have resentment, you're now there's a place in your life for the enemy to come in and do a work in your heart. Resentment, unforgiveness, bitterness, defilement. Remember, defilement means unholy. If you have bitterness, you cause many to be defiled, unholy. He says, without holiness, no one sees the Lord. I don't want to be a vehicle of bitterness. I remember this story. It's an old Indian wise fable. And this Indian's told this story of this pioneer who was climbing this mountain. And he was on his way up this big mountain, and he was climbing. And about halfway up the mountain, he runs into this snake. It's a story, okay? He runs into a snake. And this snake looks at him and says, I'm old and I'm getting ready to, I don't have much life left and I'm, you know, I'm cold-blooded, I'm old, I can't move very well, but I would really like to see another sunset. Could you take me up to the top of the mountain so I could see a sunset? The pioneer says, no, you're a snake. I'm not taking you up there. He goes, you know, but I really would love to see another sunset before I die, before I pass on. I want to see a sunset. And the pioneer goes, oh, well, you know, what's one little hike, extra hike going to hurt? Carry him on up there and enjoy that sunset. So he puts him in his jacket. They go on up and the sun's setting. It's beautiful. So he says, I'm going to let him see this. So he unzips his jacket and the snake bites him in the heart. He says, what are you? What are you? You told me. He says, you knew what I was before you took me in. That's the way it is. You know what it is. You know when sin's right there. You know what it is. We know. It's nothing to play with. We don't compromise with it, right? We don't tolerate it. All right. Now, verse 10, let's look at this. Nehemiah. I also realized that the portions for the Levites had not been given them, for each of the Levites and the singers who did the work had gone back to his field. Number one was what? Get rid of Tobias. Number two, do not forsake the house of God. Did you see what he said? I also realized that the portions for the Levites had not been given them, for each of the Levites and the singers who did the work had gone back to his field. So I contended with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? I gathered them together and set them in their place. Now, think about this. They're already forsaken the house of God. Remember, they made a vow in chapter 10 and a commitment that they were never going to forsake the house of God. Because the house of God is where you flourish and you fulfill his will when you are connected in the house of God, with the people of God. That's how you do it. They had forsaken the house of God. How? They stopped tithing. They stopped giving. And look what happened. The people, it says, for each of the Levites and the singers, the Levites were those who were the leaders in the church, who did the work in the temple, had gone back to his field. They had to go back to their field, to their jobs. And they no longer, because they weren't being supported by the people, because the people didn't want to do and for the will of God in bringing their tithe into the temple of God. Well, you know, you don't understand what I'm going through. You know, I've lost my job. And, you know, folks, that's when you start tithing. That's when you make sure you're tithing, because you want that protection over you. It's not how much. Just make sure you're tithing, right? 10 cents out of a dollar, right? That's what it is. 10 cents out of a dollar. That's what you continue to give. No matter how many dollars you bring in, you give 10 cents out of each one to the house of God. And that's a protection for you and the house of God. And that's the way God has set it up. And when we don't obey that, we allow Tobiah and the enemy into our lives in the financial area and other areas. Because if you don't have that area working, that opens the door up for a whole lot of other things to happen in your life. Am I making sense? Now, in Nehemiah 10:39, we will not neglect the house of God. That was their vow, but they did by not giving. Now, money is the chief enemy of your soul. Money is the chief enemy of your soul. Jesus said you cannot serve God and mammon. Remember, mammon was a spirit. It's the spirit of the world, the world system, the world system. And that spirit was a Greek goddess. Mammon was a Greek goddess, and it's a spirit of the world. And when all you think about is money, if that's what you think about all the time, you are serving mammon. And I'm going to tell you something. Mammon will kick you while you're down. And that's why you got to understand this. Because if you forsake the house of God for mammon, that's what he wants. That's what, I'll never have enough. Remember, that's the Antichrist. That's the spirit of the Antichrist, mammon. Remember the Antichrist. I'm not going to have enough to buy or sell. You know, I won't have enough. Times are getting bad. And he puts that fear on you. And you're not going to have enough to buy and sell. But really, that's a lie. That is a lie from the pit of hell. God says, you're robbing me, right? We don't want to forsake the temple of God. All right, now look at this. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor God with your wealth. Honor God with your wealth. I'm going to read that to you real quick. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. 1 Samuel 2:30. Or 1 Samuel 2:30. You see, we're to honor God with our first fruits. What's that? That's what you bring in first. Remember, my paycheck is what I bring in first. I give 10% of what the gross I bring in first. That's first. God is calling us, folks. He's calling us. He's calling us. And I'm going to tell you something. You got to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Listen, 1 Samuel 2:20, 2:30. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. If you honor God, God is going to honor you. I don't care what the economy's doing. I don't care what's coming out there. You're an overcomer. And when you understand that God has hidden manna, he has a word for you, and he has wisdom and understanding hidden for you, when you cling to what he says and you say, I'm trusting what God says, not what it looks like, not what it feels like, I'm going with what God says, because we're not going to be overcome by what happens to us. We're going to walk and we're going to be overcomers. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith.
Please tune in again next Sunday for the remainder of today's message.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save
us. You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Our church office and 7 p.m. Saturday evening worship services are held at 340 West Russell Road. Our 10:30 a.m. Sunday service is held at Christian Academy School, located at 2151 West Russell Road. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.